Good evening and welcome to Jazz Spectrum Saturday. I'm Fritz Byers. As always, it's great to have your company this evening. We get underway tonight with a special treat, an in-studio performance by a marvelous singer, April Varner. April was born in Toledo, but she is rapidly becoming a familiar name in, throughout the jazz world. Her debut recording, April, out earlier this summer, is a great demonstration of her many gifts. Her music is characterized with a great, although rare, way of getting across the meaning of a lyric, and always a deep musical sensibility. I'm thrilled to have April here. She's accompanied today by her pianist, Kaylin Cardello. April Varner.
April in Paris, chestnuts in blossom, holiday tables under the trees. April in Paris, this is a feeling that no one can ever reprise. I never knew the charm of spring, never met it face to face. A warm embrace to April in Paris. Whom can I run to? What have you done to my heart?
Thank you very much. So that was a tune entitled April in Paris. And now we're going to do a little Simon and Garfunkel for you, an arrangement done by our wonderful Kaylin Cardello here at the piano. This is April Come She Will. Streams are ripe and swelled with rain. resting in my arms again. Dude, she'll change her tune when streams are ripe and swelled with rain, and July she will. Chilly and cold. September, I'll remember. A love once new has now grown old. September, I'll remember. A love once new has now grown old. Has now grown old. Has grown. Who doesn't love some good Simon and Garfunkel? All right, we've got one more tune for y'all in this little set. This is another very well-known standard, jazz standard. This one is called I'll Remember April.
This lovely day will lengthen into evening. We'll sigh goodbye to all we've ever had. Alone, where we have walked together, I'll remember April and be glad. I'll be content. You loved me once in April. Your lips were warm and love and spring were new. But I'm not afraid of autumn and her sorrow, for I'll remember April and you. The fire will dwindle into glowing ashes, for flames and love live such a little while. I won't forget, but I won't be lonely. I'll remember April. But a bubble wave away, but it but a
sigh goodbye to all we've ever had alone. When we have walked together, I'll remember April and be glad. I'll be content you love me once in April. Your lips were warm and love and spring were new. But I'm not afraid of autumn and her sorrow, for I'll remember April and you. The fire will dwindle into glowing ashes, for flames and love live such a little while. I won't forget, but I won't be lonely. I'll remember April and I'll smile.
April, come on over and we can visit for a little bit.
Sure.
Thanks for that music and thanks for being here, April.
Yeah, happy to be home in Toledo. Yeah.
How are you today?
Doing well. Can't complain.
Yeah, that was just marvelous music.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations on your album, by the way.
Thank you so much.
I have so many questions I want to ask with you.
Sure.
I think we're mostly here to listen to you and Kaylin, but I do want to ask you a couple questions.
Yeah,
about
of course.
It. I'm interested in how the conception came about.
Mm-hmm.
For those of our listeners who haven't yet heard it.
Yeah.
First, go get it because it's wonderful music.
Thank you.
It's all April themed.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I'm interested about the repertoire, how the concept came together. Just mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be.
Yeah. So, an amazing drummer and educator named Ulysses Owens Jr. He produced the album, and so he made this all possible, and then some for sure. So when we were first meeting about the album, we didn't really have a concept in mind, and I remember we got on Zoom and I just threw a bunch of standards that I knew at him that I really liked, and I had no concept in mind, nothing. And he was like, no, we need something concrete. We need something that's, you know, will get people's attention. And so we both had that light bulb moment where we thought, oh, what about my name? That might be cool, because, you know, there's a few gimme standards like April in Paris, and I'll remember April, the one we just did, that are very well known. But you know, we were like, there's got to be some more songs out there that have my name in it. So we did kind of a word search on Spotify. We just put in April in the search bar and saw what came up. And we spent about 10 seconds each listening to, like, I don't even know how many songs on Zoom, and picked and, you know, discarded what we didn't like. And so there's a bit of everything on this album for everyone. There's obviously the jazz standards, of course, and then a few originals of mine. But then there's some others that are, you know, from such well-known artists like Prince and Simon and Garfunkel tune. Those were ones that we knew we, you know, they have to be good because they're, you know, by such amazing artists. So we wanted to definitely include those. But yeah, we just thought the concept was really fun with my name, and we were shocked at how many tunes were out there with April in it. So yeah, it was super fun to pick these tunes though, for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned the Prince tune, which
mm-hmm.
you do such a very moving version of.
Oh,
it's
thank
very
you.
Powerful
yeah.
And also a Frank Ocean tune.
Yes,
you have on
yep.
it, which
mm-hmm.
is really nice.
Yeah.
And even for the standards, you do such an interesting job with them.
Mm-hmm.
Here you did some great scatting
mm-hmm.
on I'll Remember April, but
yeah.
on the record version, you trade vocalese chords.
Yes, so yeah.
With your trumpeter. So
uh-huh.
tell me, like, how did the whole concept come to you of putting vocalese into that? You substituted scat, so I'm
right.
just interested in that.
Yeah, so I love doing vocalises. That became one of my guilty pleasures kind of at the end of college and when I moved to New York. One of my teachers at Indiana was Darman Meter, who's a part of the the vocal jazz group called the New York Voices, and they've done some vocalese stuff. I mean, Darman's done a bunch of that, and also one of my Toledo idols is John Hendricks, of course, with his vocal jazz group, Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross, he was like the king of vocalises. So I was greatly inspired by him many years ago and started writing my own vocalises. And so I knew I wanted to do that at least at some point on the album. So for I'll Remember April, Benny Banach and I, we had each prepared a solo and wrote lyrics to it, you know, traditionally. But the problem was, is we both didn't practice it enough. So when we got to the recording date, we both folded big time, and we're like, this is never going to happen. Like, there's, you know, it's not going to sound good. Like, we can't do this. So Ulysses had the great idea of, why don't you just make one up on the spot? And so that's all like freestyling. There was no, like, none of that was written out, lyrics or music. We just kind of like played off each other, and you know, we couldn't even see each other in the booths either when we were there, so it wasn't even like we're looking at each other. It was just kind of just strictly listening hard and intently, and like, okay, what did he just say? How can I rhyme with that? Or how can I, you know, follow up
on what he just said. So yeah, it was tricky, but it came out really great, and so we're really happy with the end product. But it was a little stressful, just a little bit.
I think no one listening to that would have any idea that you weren't looking at each other, because it really feels like you're having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the cleverness of the verbal interplay is
just wonderful. Yeah, I mean, Benny and I have been friends for many years, so there's a friendship there that we you know, played off of as well. But yeah, we could not see each other. We were doing it, so maybe that was for the best, though, because I think maybe if we'd saw each other, we would have probably cracked up and you know messed up. So maybe
listeners to the show recognize the name Theo Bleckman, and you have a fantastic use of his orchestration of the various I'm not saying it very well, but the vocal stylings on that tune are wonderful. How did that come to be, and
so
how do you know Theo?
Theo was my teacher at MSM for grad school, and he's probably one of the most invaluable mentors I've ever had. I just got coffee with him days before I left. I just went to his apartment, we just chatted for a while and had coffee, and I go to him for life advice, music advice, everything in between. So he's been an incredible mentor. So I knew for this album I had to include him somehow. And so his bag, obviously, to those who know his style, is like very ECM. It's very, you know, he layers his voice really well, his range. He can go from low to high. Like, that's his specialty. So when we heard this Frank Ocean tune, the original version that Frank did is very like electronic and soundscapey and all that stuff. So we were like, who could we get to do that? And we're like, oh, Theo. Because Theo was the one, too, that introduced me to Ulysses. So when I told Theo I wanted to do an album, I was like, who should I have produce it? And he said, oh, Ulysses. And he was the one that introduced us to each other and, you know, spoke highly of me to Ulysses, which sold Ulysses on wanting to work with me. And so Theo's, I'm eternally grateful to him in so many ways. So, so for Dear April, we recorded the rhythm section and myself in the studio without Theo, and just sent him the track and said, work your magic. And so he did all of that, all of his layerings at home in his apartment with all of his different machinery and magic and everything, and just sent it back. And we're like, let me know if you want me to change anything, or, it took him like not even a week to do it. It was just like a few days, and he was like, here you go. It's one of my favorite tunes off the album for sure. So,
mine as well.
I'm so glad he got to be a part of it.
One more question, then we'll get back to some music.
Sure.
You humbly referred to a couple of the songs that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Your melodies and your lyrics are really just so enthralling.
Oh, thank you.
Did you write those after you conceived the project, April, and then fit them into that concept?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for the first tune, the April Blues, that was kind of the same thing as with Benny. It was made up on the spot. So
with just Ruben playing the bass behind you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Ruben, obviously the duo tune on the album is what we just played, April in Paris, between me and Kaylin. And we had, the Theo tune with me and Theo. So we wanted to include Ruben on a duo tune with me somehow, and we hadn't planned for that. So same thing in the studio. Ulysses was like, you guys should do a tune together. And we're like, okay, well, we could do any tune, but, we're sticking with this April theme, and we've run out of songs. So we're like, I don't know what we're going to do. And so Ulysses said again, like, why don't you just make up a blues? And so I quickly on my phone looked up words that are associated with April, spring, picked a few of my favorites, and just deeply like got in the zone and just closed my eyes and just kind of went with whatever came out of my mouth. And so the blues is entirely improvised as well.
The lyrics were improvised on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With Ruben playing behind you.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I've been doing that at my shows. I just did it last night too, where I have the audience give me about five words with the associated with whatever I feel like talking about, and kind of do that same thing where I just make up a blues on the spot. It's been really fun to do, actually. I really enjoy doing it, oddly enough. And then my original on the end of the album, Who Let April Back Into My Dreams, that was kind of built along the theme of that, the ever so fun unrequited love storyline. So yeah, I wrote that after we came up with the concept. I had an idea of a story in mind based on a past experience with somebody, but it was kind of weird to write a song with my name in it, but yeah, I mean, I sometimes pump out a good song. I mean songwriting is not really my forte, but yeah, it was a good one, so I'm glad people enjoy it.
It's a great way to start off the album.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about some more music now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Thanks for chatting.
Of course.
Fashion.
Oh, I love the old-fashioned things, like the sound of rain upon my windowpane, that starry song that April sings. This year's fancies are passing fancies, but sighing sighs, holding hands, these my heart understands. I'm old fashioned, but I don't mind it, for that's how I want to be, as long as you agree to stay old fashioned with me. The sound of rain upon my windowpane, oh, that starry song that I sing. This year's fancies are just passing fancies, but sighing sighs, holding hands, these my heart understands. Oh, I'm old-fashioned, for that's how I wanna be, as long as you agree to stay old fashioned with me.
All right, that one is not on my album, I gotta admit. However, it does mention April, so I feel like it gets an honorary mention. All right, so we're gonna do a little Willy Wonka favorite. Since the movie did come out a little bit ago, I don't know if any of y'all saw it. I saw it, and it was awesome. And this song always makes me teary. So yeah, we're gonna do a little Pure Imagination for you now. What we'll see will differ.
explanation.
Yeah, that's such a pretty song. I adore that song. It's one of those, you know, no matter how many times you hear it, it's always like, ooh, that's just beautiful. Beautiful. All right. We're going to do two slow songs. I hope that's okay. So we're going to do that gorgeous Prince tune now for you. A little shorter version since this one's very long, but this is the gorgeous song by Prince off my album called Sometimes It Snows in April.
Tracy died soon after a long-fought civil war. Just after I'd wiped away his last tear, I guess he's better off than before. A whole lot better off than the fools he left here. And I used to cry for Tracy because he was my only friend. Those kinds of cars don't pass you every day. And I used to cry for Tracy, 'cause I wanted to see him again. But sometimes, sometimes life ain't always the way. But sometimes it snows in April, and sometimes I feel so bad, so bad, and sometimes I wish. But all good things, they say, never last. Oh, and love, it is in love till it's past.
All right. That was a little Prince. Those are two tearjerkers for you out there. I hope you're lightly crying wherever you're listening to these songs. In a good way, of course. In a good way. In a good way. So,
Kaylin, you want to come over and visit a little bit? It's great to have you here, Kaylin. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Fritz. It's great to be here.
Your music is just terrific.
Thank you.
You have quite a style on piano. I think I read that you were born into a musical family and began studying both, I think, classical and jazz early on. So tell me about that, sort of your upbringing and how you got into music and your path to becoming the jazz pianist that you are now.
Well, actually, I didn't start out classically. I started out just playing jazz.
Mm-hmm.
The first song I ever learned on piano when I was 4 years old was the theme song from Charlie Brown, Linus and Lucy.
Vince Guaraldi.
So Vince Guaraldi, yeah. Very very underrated pianist, in my opinion.
Agreed.
But that was the first, a very elementary version of the song, but that was the first thing I learned. And at that point, I didn't know it was jazz, but, I grew up, my first couple piano teachers, I never was studying classical intensely, like playing Beethoven sonatas, Mozart, Bach. But once I got to high school, when I started taking piano playing more seriously, I had a jazz and a classical teacher. And I did some programs in New Jersey, where I'm from. There's one called Jazz House Kids, which Christian McBride is the artistic director for, and his wife, Melissa Walker, founded the program. I did that for 9 years. And so I give a lot of credit to them for most of my upbringing in the jazz community. I got to study with Fred Hirsch for a little bit, Dave Kakowski, and then once I got to college, people like Harold Mayburn, Bill Charlap, Mike LaDon, a few others.
Several of those people are among the most prominent people on this show. Fred and Bill have both been on the show here, so great to have you here up on them.
Yeah, they're the best.
They're great, and I can hear a little bit of the influence, certainly, of some of Fred's voicings in your playing. It sounds he might have had an influence on you along the way.
That's a big compliment. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah. I think I also saw you've won many awards, but two big names attached to awards you've won, Herbie Hancock and Charlie Mingus. That's quite a pair of people to have on your resume. So if you will, talk about, beyond the immediate pianists whom you studied with, who else has influenced the way you hear music? And I want to talk a little bit later about your accompanying April, but when you're leading your trio, what are the influences and what has really come together to shape what you're trying to create in your music?
I've gotten that question a lot lately, and thus have been thinking about it a lot. I kind of have such a spread out array of inspiration. I can focus in on, jazz musicians, jazz pianists who have influenced me, from Art Tatum, James B. Johnson, Fats Waller, Thelonious Monk, Bud, all the way up to now, to Bill, Fred, Brad Meldow, Robert Glasper, and even my peers, people like Isaiah Thompson, Sean Mason, Joe Block, people who are my age or a little bit older than me, I'm constantly pulling inspiration from all of them, and even beyond that, I just listened to the other day. It's funny. So when I perform, I like to listen to anything but jazz. It's like a palate cleanser, but also I love listening to other genres of music. And so I listened to the entirety of Come Taste the Band with Deep Purple.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was listening, and then I heard little things, little bits of melody and solo and improvisation that I grasp and pull from, like within the blues, when I compose and when I write my own music. So I'm really pulling from all the ends of the spectrum, you know.
Yeah. That's really a big aspect of the jazz tradition, just repurposing music and putting it within a jazz context and mm-hmm. sort of showing different elements or different prismatic views of the music. And
right.
I can hear that. I can certainly hear that with you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's clear to me from looking at your resume and people you play with that you're really gaining prominence. I think you maybe either have played or about to play with Rufus Reed, one of the great bassists ever.
Jeremy Pelt, yeah.
I think you're going to have a date sometime soon with Jeremy. Mm-hmm. So
we played, yeah.
How does this come along? I'm just interested in how a career develops. You know, you run into somebody and they hear about you from someone else. How is that all unfolding for you?
Well, the funny thing about the two guys you just mentioned is they both are affiliated with William Patterson University, where I got my undergrad from.
Mm-hmm.
And Rufus was one of the directors, I don't know the exact years, but a couple guys before Bill, Charlotte, he was mm-hmm. the artistic director. And so we were connected through that. He also is from Teaneck, New Jersey, where I'm born and raised, where I was born and raised. And so my first piano teacher worked with him, and so we kind of knew of each other, and he knew of me, but we really connected a few years ago, and we ended up recording an album together. So that was pretty cool, you know, record with this legendary bass player who I've been looking up to for a while. And Pelt was one of my teachers at William Patterson, and you know how these things go. You're a student in school, you are working. I mean, William Patterson has one of the best faculties for jazz, I believe, and that, even if I didn't go there, I would say that, so it's unbiased. But Bill Charlap, Jonathan Blake, Jeremy Pell, Vincent Herring, Mike Ledon, you know, the list goes on and on. So I studied with Pelt, and a few years later he just called me for a gig, and it was great. We played two nights at the Jazz Forum up in Tarrytown, and believe we might have a couple of things coming up, but that's just how it goes, you know. Yeah. I've also played with Vincent Herring, who I studied with for 2 years at William Patterson, and we kind of came full circle, because when I was an immature freshman, you know, showing up late to his ensemble, he was not happy with me. Yeah. But then I got my act together, and he saw that, and he saw the progress, and now we perform, and we're colleagues.
Congratulations for all that. It's Thank just you. Great. The last subject I want to ask with you about before we get back to hearing you in April, playing in with Jeremy or playing as a pianist in a piano trio is one thing, but the demands of accompanying a singer as talented as April, it's a whole different thing. So mm-hmm. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you're trying to do in support of a singer who's as dynamic and musical as April, a very different set of skills you have to bring to it. So tell me how you think about that.
Man, well, I feel like I'll be practicing that till I die. I'll never, like, playing with a singer is like a whole art aside from every other aspect of performing or any. It's just like you have to be so in tune with every aspect of your own playing, but at the same time be on the same level with the person you're. And this goes for singers, instrumental, like any duo setting, because you're so exposed. Right, so when I'm playing with April, when I'm playing with any singer, I'm like not only channeling the influence that I have from records and people I listen to, like Hank Jones or Sullivan Fortner or Oscar Peterson, people who, you know, who I listen to and I love the way that they played behind a singer. Not only channeling that, but I'm also like in the moment, like, okay, how can I best fit this singer and their needs and how they sing and how they, you know, react to music and their expression and emotion, because everyone's different. So I'm trying to have a wide palette to just be at any singer's expense.
I may be showing my age, but the first jazz musician I ever interviewed was the pianist Jimmy Rolls.
Oh, wow.
And one of my favorites. And wow. I talked with him about what it was like to accompany Billie Holiday. And I don't mean to flatter you too much, but the way you just talked about it really overlaps a good bit with the way Jimmy thought about it. So I think you're on the right track.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Fritz.
A few more tunes?
Sure. Yeah, we can do some more.
That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Kaylin.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to bring you back to tear-jerking hour now. sorry. So we're going to do my original tune from the album, the Who Let April Back Into My Dreams, followed by a few more upbeat ones. I won't end on a sad note today. So. Nothing good ever happens after midnight. A saying that my mother always told me. Never knew it could be true, that is, until one night in June. Though many months have passed since last I saw you, I thought that I was through with sleepless nights. I start to close my eyes, but to my surprise, my mind brings me back once again. It's spring again, and it's raining again, leaving leaves a glistening shade of emerald green. The air as clear as day, with flowers readying for May. Oh, who let April back into my dreams? Deeper sleep I seem to greet, with your arms just out of reach. Though I try my very best to stay away, like the pending sun in June, it seems there's nothing stopping you. Who let April back into my dreams? My mind is wide awake, that ghost of you I can't erase. My sinking heart free, freezing me in place. That foolish smile, no longer true. But what if I knew I'd never say those words again? I'm still in love with you. But soon the sun arrives, morning light now by my side. Oh, it all just must have been inside my head. Oh, no matter what I do, it seems there's no escape. Wipe your tears away. We're going to get happy now. So sorry. Yeah, that was my original original composition. So now we're going to move on to a fun one. I often think of this version of the song done by the wonderfully great jazz vocalist Nancy Wilson. So this is What a Little Moonlight Can Do.
Just when I utter the words, I love you. Ooh, what a little moonlight can do. Just wait a while till that moonbeam comes peeping through. You'll get bold, you can't resist him, and all you'll say right after you've kissed him, ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
What a Little Moonlight Can Do, one of my absolute favorite standards to do. Okay, so we're gonna finish things off with another tune from my album. This one was done originally by the great Dean Martin. It's a really cheesy version. We kind of giggled the first time we listened to it, because both Kayla and I were like, how are we gonna change this, because you'll just have to hear it to understand. But we came up with a really groovy version. So this is Kaylin's wonderful arrangement of April Again.
Thank you. pretend that you're here with me. And though it seems like April again, it's not the same. No, it's not the same at all. Between the pages of the book have turned to gray, but still I close my eyes and hold them and know that it's not April again, but it seems that way.
April and Kaylin, thank you so much for just a marvelous concert.
Well, thanks so much for having us.
It's been great to have you. April Varner and Carmen Cardello in performance at FM 91's studio. Check out April's release, April, on all your streaming services. You'll be happy to hear the whole thing. Take my word for it. It's full of great music, great singing, some of the best musicians in the world, and at the very center of that is Kaylin Cardello. Thanks again so much.
Thanks so much.
This is Jazz Spectrum Saturday on Public Radio FM 91 and always online at wgt.org/jazz. I'm Fritz Byers.